WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth,
very
Charlie
good.
Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Thank you for keeping your radio dial set here to 95.9 WATD. It is Monday night. This is where people come to talk on Monday evening, Monday Night Talk. My name is Kevin Tachi. I will be here for the next 1 hour and 45 minutes with good conversation. At least I hope you would think it's good conversation. We got three shows left, including this one. And that's it for 2017. We're on to 2018. Technically, we have two shows. The plan is for the last show, the Christmas Day show. It'll be our last show of the year. And I want to take a moment to pay tribute to a couple of people that we have lost. I also have to check our audio files. I think we did something with Ed Perry in regards to the 40th anniversary. So, as you know, we had Dave Skill passed away earlier this year. We'll re-air his segment that we did with him earlier in the year. Also, Brian Stratton, who passed away recently, we'll re-air one or two of his segments. That's the idea at this particular time. And seeing that ATD, this is the year we're celebrating our 40th anniversary, I'm pretty sure I did something with our illustrious owner, Ed Perry. There's a good chance that we did. If we did, we'll re-air that segment. So it'll technically be a best of as we march into 2018. But just to give you a little bit of an idea as to what we are planning as for tonight's show, I think we have a great show. Of course, I'm a little biased. We'll start things off with State Representative Joan Moschino representing the 3rd Plymouth District. We haven't had her in since August. We try to have a nice little rotation of state legislators who are in our listening area to come on a regular basis, and they do a fantastic job. Everybody, I've rarely got a no from somebody because usually they're in the middle of working on something, they're traveling, or their schedule wouldn't allow it, but usually within a week or two later, they find a way to come on the program and have a conversation to kind of talk about what they're working on, some of the things that they're immersed in, whether it's a bill that we know is in the works, whether it's passing from the House to the Senate or it's getting ready to be put on the governor's desk. We have those conversations. If they're doing stuff in district, we have those conversations. So we'll speak with Joan Moschino, kind of get a year in review, seeing this was year one of two of her freshman term. 6:40, we're going to speak with Dom DiOrio. Dom is a fantastic young man who we met 2 years ago. He's the president and founder of Dom's Dimes. It's a nonprofit, his way of giving back. We'll talk with him. His dad will be with him as well, who kind of helps manage that nonprofit. He's going to help out in regards to the origin and some of the nuts and bolts of Dom's Dimes. But he's also a great attorney. And we're going to talk about a couple of interesting things. He recently gave a lecture at a local community college about the Fourth Amendment. We'll talk about that. Plus, the Carpenter versus U.S. This is in regards to your cell phone, the information that it carries. We'll talk with him about that. And we'll talk a little bit about the wonder of Christmas with Michael Faraday. He is from the Living Word Churches. They got a fantastic event coming up this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
'Twas 3 a.m. Christmas morning. Not a creature was moving, except for my brother Dave Jr., who had already been downstairs. My father had hung duct tape with care in a futile attempt to keep Dave Jr. at bay. When my brother woke me up out of bed, he said, "Come downstairs, Santa was there." I watched Brother Dave slip through the duct tape and on down the stairs. Reluctantly, I followed to see what was there. As we reached the last step, we heard from up there, "Dad!"
"Jeffrey! David! Get back in bed now!"
Oops, looks like we just made the naughty list. Oh well, just a moment too late. Merry Christmas and happy holiday from us at Brennan's Smoke Shop. Brennan's Smoke Shop, making the naughty list nice for 25 years. Brennan's Smoke Shop, Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, and now on Pope's Island in New Bedford.
Get back in bed!
Ooh, oops, looks like we just made the naughty list.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk and our first guest. It's been a while since she has been in here, but I reached out to her office last week and spoke with Ryan and said, "Ryan, I'd like to have the representative of the third Plymouth District, Joan Moschino, come in, and I think maybe we have her come in and kind of do like a year in review. I mean, she's a freshman legislator, mm-hmm. who has done some great work. Maybe we could do like a year in review and also catch up anything she might be working on." And Brian was very diligent to have her be here on this Monday night. And I know it's just a couple of weeks. I know you're taking time out of your Christmas shopping to be, oh, no, wait, you're probably one of those who already did all your Christmas shopping.
All right, so yes, I'm essentially ready.
As I am not, but I will be hopefully in a couple of days. Welcome back to Monday Night Talk.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, it's been an exciting first year. I was sworn in on January 4th, and you jump right in the next day and get straight to work. It was a pretty steep learning curve, but exciting, engaging, very interesting. And, you know, we learned a lot. We've had some successes, and we've had some really inspiring, incredible moments, and it's all been good, and I've loved every minute of it.
What do we have on the stove at the moment? You get a couple of things that you're working at, the irons in the fire that you're working on right now that you could share with your constituents or just the folks who are listening to Monday Night Talk?
Well, so you've heard me say it before. We have prioritized constituent services. And, you know, we're in the district five times a month. People are finding us. And, you know, we really are helping a lot of people. And that has picked up as we've gotten closer to the holidays. A lot more people have been reaching out. And so, you know, we've really prioritized that service piece.
How important is that as somebody who is a legislator to be able to be with the folks who, I mean, that should be your top interest. But a lot of folks who are in office, I hate to say this, and it depends on office, and I'm not just saying on the state level. It could be on the local level. It could be beyond. It seems as though sometimes it could be a little bit self-serving. How important is that to Joan Moschino to make sure that you're hearing what your constituents' concerns are? And if there's anything that within your grasp of power, you're able to try to do something for them.
So I think it's critical. Think of the state representative office as your sort of face of state government. And most people come to us when they're trying to navigate some component of state government or they're trying to connect with services. So it can be little small things like questions. I'm confused about trying to apply for MassHealth, and so we can connect them. And sometimes it's really serious. Recently, we've had a lot of seniors, mostly women, that are trying to find housing, and that's been one of the biggest struggles, to be honest, because there's just a lack of housing available for seniors right now. And so, you know, we do our best to reassure them, to guide them, to connect them to the Councils on Aging, to connect them to services like Wellspring and Hull, to really make sure that that they're getting the services that are out there for them. But at the end of the day, there's just a lack of housing for seniors. It's something we're going to have to really start to address.
Folks have to realize that, you know, once you get to a certain age, you decide that you are going to retire, you kind of want a fixed income. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that's difficult, where, you know, it's a younger workforce. And a lot of times when you get older, and you know, I'm realizing that I haven't passed the 60 barrier, the 70 barrier, but, you know, I did pass the 50 barrier, and I look and I say, what is it going to be like for me in, you know, 15, 20 years? Am I going to be able to sustain? I mean, I'm trying to work on having a nice retirement plan and make sure that I, you know, my portfolio is up to snuff. So if I need to have a fallback, I can, but not everybody is able to. And if they're at that point in their life, it's kind of like, what do I do?
Right. Well, a little good news.
I like good news.
Well, hopeful good news. So the administration is working with the Senate and the House on a bond bill for housing. And what we're hopeful is that as the bill moves its way through House Ways and Means, that we will be at some point in the coming year issuing a bond bill to create more additional senior housing and to rehab some of the housing that we have. If you have a family member in senior housing right now, a lot of these structures are old. They were built in the 50s and the 60s, so they're not as handicapped accessible as they could or we would want them to be.
Sure.
And so I think it's actually a critically important next step is to spend a little money there.
My question too, and I don't know if you have this answer or not, if this is successful and it is passed, how is it something that there's certain amount of monies is going to be handed out to various communities? Is there a list that the state already has that they'll be?
Oh, so it would be something that would be administered through DHCD, which is the Department of Housing and Community Development.
Okay.
And that's the state agency that manages all of the housing authorities across the state. So it would be funding dispersed the same way as any other DHCD money would be to those authorities. And that would be where it would be for. So as a freshman, I learned that these kinds of things come up on a cycle of about every 5 years. And, you know, the governor has been very careful and very judicious in terms of watching the revenues and the budget. And we just got some good news that November numbers were strong. Mm-hmm. They're hoping and expecting that December numbers will continue to be strong, which is also good news for municipalities, because that's when we get past the point where the governor would feel the need to do 9C cuts. So at that point, we'd see some of the grant monies, some of the monies that Senator O'Connor and I worked really hard to get into the budget for our district, you'd see that start to be released. So fingers crossed that the economy stays strong and that the revenue numbers continue to trend where we anticipate.
What's it been like to work with other colleagues, whether it's other South Shore colleagues like the Jim Cantwells, the Josh Cutlers, Tom Calters, or to work with a state senator like Pat O'Connor?
So our district actually works very well. We have a very collaborative, friendly, engaging working relationship both among the state representatives of the delegation as well as with our state senator, mm-hmm. Patrick O'Connor. And our staffs also work very well together. It's really been a lot of fun working with them. Jim Cantwell is the senior man in our delegation. And actually, now that I think I stand corrected, I think Jamie Murphy, who represents part of Weymouth and one precinct in Hingham, I think he's actually our senior man. But between the two of them, you know, they've seen it all.
Leadership.
They've done it. It's really, and they're a lot of fun. They're really smart and engaging and a lot of fun. And they work hard for their districts.
Now, I know this is a faux pas, but how about as far as being a freshman? Is there any friendly hazing that you've had to endure at the hands of of a Jim Campbell. I know Jimmy can be a bit of a prankster.
And
I have seen it firsthand, stuff that he has done, having fun with Josh Cutler, Representative Cutler, 6th Plymouth District, and stuff like that. Have you had fun at the cost of that representative?
Yes, they do some gentle teasing, but they've been pretty good to me. I'm so type A, and I'm not funny, so they've been pretty easy on me.
Good. So let's take a couple of moments while we have it. And again, we have State Representative Joan Moschino, who is kind enough to be here just 14 days before Christmas. We're glad to have her in, and we try to make sure we have the whether it's a state senator or a state representative, to come in on a regular basis. Just so happens to be her turn. And it gives her an opportunity to kind of give us a little bit of a, I don't know, kind of an end-of-the-year look at things as she's already kind of been doing, and kind of tease us with some of the things that are in the works. If you would, give me some of share some of the successes and some of the things that you've been able to be a part of. Mm-hmm. In the first half of your term?
So, actually, things have been going really well. Most recently, it started a caucus among the state and Senate legislators dealing with fair skies, with the noise from Massport.
Okay.
And that's been very collaborative, and we actually filed a bill to expand the Citizen Advisory Committee's budget so they can hire an executive director and really put the kind of professional person in place for long-term advocacy with Massport around noise, around public health. And I think that's going to actually end up being really successful, and hopefully that will come out sometime, if not before the end of the year, right in the first part of the year. So that's exciting.
Is this strictly on the state level, or is the federal government getting involved? Because I thought I had a conversation with Congressman Stephen Lynch in regards to
Yes, the
airport noise
so
and stuff.
Congressman Lynch, Capuano, and Clark have been tremendous advocates on behalf of the communities relative to Massport and the noise. It is guided by the FAA. It's about safety and efficacy first and foremost. But there's a lot that Massport could be doing to mitigate some of the noise pollution that we're getting. So the Citizen Advisory Commission has been working very closely with Massport, and there's actually been some research done, and there's a few things that are going to come out very soon that we hope they'll take up and implement in either the February or the March timeframe that'll just start to make some small changes to help the people that they fly under these flight paths.
What else do you have on your list? Because Ryan compiled a nice list for you to be able to kind of share with the listeners.
Yeah, so we've been working on about 5 priorities.
Good.
You know, I think of everything as around economic strength, economic health of our district. So we've been working on some environmental issues. We've been fighting the compressor station.
Big deal.
That's a big deal. We've been working very collaboratively with Weymouth on that. I've personally have been advocating for an increase in the RPS standard, the renewable portfolio standard. We have to green the grid. That's probably the most strategic way that we can shrink our carbon footprint and really start to, get rid of combat sea level rise and climate change. I got appointed to the Ocean Advisory Commission. Speaker DeLeo appointed me early in the fall, and my first meeting will be in January. And that's an avenue to really advocate for things like beach nourishment. And in fact, we put in a request, worked closely with Coastal Zone Management to put in a request for Army Corps of Engineer fill for beach nourishment in Nantasket Beach, which would be really exciting and would go a long way towards flood mitigation and really pushing the coast, the wave action off of the beachfront and all of the infrastructure down at Nantasket, and make sure that the Department of Conservation and Recreation beach is there for use, for enjoyment for decades to come. We've also been working to support transportation. So we've been working, I am on the Transportation Committee, and we've been working closely with MassDOT, with the MBTA on strategies, with the Secretary's Office. Mm-hmm. In fact, they just came out with well, I shouldn't probably say it, but they've been working on a study around opportunities to expand ferry service, and there'll be an announcement coming out, which we're excited about. And we've also been working very closely to support our libraries. That was my number one budget ask last year in the budget. And in fact, over 100 people in our district wrote letters at my request to support the line item for technical assistance. It's how the regional sharing that we all rely on. And then we've also been working for quality of life for elders, as we discussed earlier. And we started by doing some focus groups, really. One with elder services, one for a veterans town hall, one for social services with Wellspring. Next up will be legal aid for the district. So we're pretty excited to be working on a lot of those topics and really getting at what it is that people need, what it is to enhance our quality of life.
We look forward to 2018, which is, it's really just right around the corner, a couple of weeks away. Do you set goals for the second half of your term? Mm-hmm. Do you have an idea as the course that you're going to plot, whether it's on any of the committees that you're serving on or any of the initiatives that you're looking to push home?
Oh, absolutely. Ryan and I have been working on that. And you'll see us focus on the same things, really pushing through to get that CAC expansion bill out of committee, to see us really advocate for the environmental piece and to increase the renewable portfolio standard. I think that would probably be the number one thing that I'd like to see come out of the Telecom, Utility, and Energy Committee. And we'll also be looking ahead towards things like working on housing solutions for our seniors, working on the opioid addiction crisis, working on really advocating for the libraries. And the theme is, as I said, is the economic security and health of our district, and to really improve the quality of life. One of the other things that I'm excited to do, I haven't gotten permission to do it yet, but I'm on the small, one of the committees I'm on is the community development and small business, and they tour the state. So Rep. Cutler had them down in Duxbury. We were up in Burlington, and I'd like the chairman to come down and to visit in Hingham, Hull, and Cohasset, and to tour some of the small businesses and give the small business owners an opportunity to directly inform what the chair's hearing about the themes that they need. But we haven't set it up yet, but hopefully the summer. It's in the works.
We just got a couple of moments left with you. How about as far as you've kind of given a vision for 2018, as far as work that you'll do in your office? How about personally? Are you a New Year's resolution type of a person where maybe you and your husband, who's here in studio, would happen to, you know, whether it's, you know, maybe I won't eat as much chocolate this year. Or, you know what, I'm going to try. You know what, last year I read 5 books. This year I'm going to read 7 books. Are you that type of a person or no?
No, I'm not. Every time I've ever tried to do a New Year's resolution, I have then very happily broken it. I think I'm a break the rules kind of gal.
You're a rebel. You're a rebel. It's okay.
No New Year's resolutions. Okay. Just I think the takeaway theme here is that, you know, we work hard. We listen to the constituents in our district, and we're here to serve you. So looking forward to continuing the work, to being out and present in the district, to connecting with people. Please stop by the office hours. We're in the district 5 times every month, and we rotate through the district. And if you're in Hingham and you want to swing by the Scituate Library and say hello, please do. And if you see me out in public, please say hello and introduce yourself to me. And if there's an event that you'd like me to attend or information you'd like to educate me on, please contact the office, 617-722-2320. We'll get you in the calendar. That's what we're here for.
Well, I want to thank you very much for coming in and being, you know what, being a regular guest on Monday Night Talk. We'll look forward to having you back on and 2018 and hopefully beyond. Big plans for Christmas? Yes, no?
Oh, yes. We always do Christmas Eve, and we cook the seven fish. My family's Italian, and we'll have a big family open house. So it'll be a lot of fun.
All right, I'll be over. That's it.
You are always welcome. And really, on behalf of myself and my husband, John, we'd just like to wish you and everyone's families a wonderful holiday season and best wishes for a terrific new year.
Same back at you, and I want to make sure that I thank John for coming. It's always always great to have John come in. He's he's an excellent gentleman who comes in here, and it's great to see have the two of you here, and be able to during the commercial break, you know, before we come back and have a little bit of chat and you know and talk, and it's nice to see the team of Moschino be in house and be here on this evening, and we wish you. From the folks here at Monday Night Talk, a fantastic holiday, a Merry Christmas, and of course, a safe and healthy New Year.
Thank you.
You got it. We will step aside, and when we come back, I promise, more Monday Night Talk, right here on 95.9 WATD.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk, WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we are back here on Monday Night Talk, heard on 959 WATD, World Wide Web, 959WATD.com. And my next guest, our next set of guests, father and son, more so the first segment will be talking with the son. Of course, dad is kind of the managing partner, kind of the guidance, where the son is the president and founder of the organization. It's kind of a revisit of the young gentleman named Dom DiIorio, of the founder, president of Dom's Dimes, an extraordinary effort to help those in need, continues to grow leaps and bounds, gets its share of positive press and media. And Dom, welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Thank you for stopping by this evening.
Thanks for having me.
I got to tell you, it's myself, somebody who has kids who are older. Last time you were here, you weren't as tall, and you are much taller now. And I've been following your progress. Some of the things that you have been doing, some of the things that Dad has been helping to do, but I don't want to sit here and kind of lay it all out. I want to give you an opportunity to kind of catch folks up who heard the prior segment that we did back in 2015, the birth of your nonprofit organization and where it has gone or where it is now. How are things these days for Dom's Dimes?
Things are doing pretty good. We've been getting a lot of donations. My Spanish teacher is thinking about donating a bunch of his stuff. We're going to be doing a few events sooner or later. A Christmas event at Father Bill's, another Christmas event at Pastor Roberto's church.
What was the idea behind Dom's Dimes? For folks who do or do not know, and it gives them actually the doorway to listening to the inception. And if folks, it's that time of year, people are in need. Christmas, merely just 2 weeks away from today. Kind of give them the story, how it started and who it helps.
It started in 2015. I just really want to help people in need, more so homeless people. But yeah, we've been collecting money just to help homeless people, getting them bags with supplies that they would need.
Have you had any kind of outreach or support from other people, organizations? I mean, give me some of the things I've heard. Your dad has told me some of the things that, you know, some of the donations that you have received, and the idea, you know, what you have tried to do to at least help those people who are in need. And of course, we have Chris DiOrio, who is here. He, of course, deserves an introduction. And Chris, welcome back to Monday Night Talk.
Thank you very much, Kevin, for having us. The idea, Dominic, in all of this, is the creative and moving force behind the organization. And as I said, when we formed Dom's Dimes as a nonprofit in September of 2015, Dominic, at that point, was the youngest executive officer of a nonprofit in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts at the age of 12 when he started. Since that time, we've taken in monetary donations from all over. It's tremendous how much growth there has been from the earliest moments of people just bringing Ziploc bags of their dimes. The idea it being when Dominic first came down the stairs a day after meeting face-to-face for real, his first real homeless person, his first experience in realizing that this is just a person. He's not something or someone to be afraid of. It's someone in need, and what can I do to make it better? And that moment, as I talked about a couple of years back, and I continue to hearken back to, when he came down the stairs and wanted to sell all of his Legos to come up with the money to help this person have a roof over their head for a month, because he was $20 shy from his $780 that he gets in disability benefits from the government after being in the service, this one gentleman that Dominic met, and he wanted to sell his Legos, all 10,000 pieces, to get the extra $20 that it would take to put this guy into, you know, a somewhat of a studio apartment just for a month. And I said, well, you know, that's a nice idea, but $20 is not necessarily going to help this person. And it was a moment where when you realize that your children are listening, and every once in a while they throw something right back in your face, and you're proud and amazed all at once. When he said, you know, you always said that you have one dime, you can't do a whole lot, but if you stack up 1,000, you could break a window and really do some damage. So why can't we start stacking up dimes and doing some damage to help homeless people? And I didn't have an answer for him. All I could say was, there's no reason why we can't. And from that moment, we've been collecting dimes, and not just dimes. We still get boxes sent from the first person that I went to her prom in 1982, and a friend that I still stay in touch with. It costs more money for her to put the postage on the box than the dimes that are inside, and yet she's thinking of us. We have the monetary site with the GoFundMe page and PayPal and things of that nature, where we take in other donations at GoFundMe.com/DomsDimes10, the number 10. But we've been going ever since, and in the first 2 days that we were up and running, we had $500. And after that, it continued to grow to the point where now, over the course of the last 2 years, we've taken in monetary donations. Dominic, what was it, about? We're up over $10,000 now.
Around that, yeah.
And that's just, but that's the first idea. And then because I'm old and he's young, he has the creative brain and is always open to something. Why can't we? Why can't, it's a magic question that too many of us, when we get old, forget to ask and we lose. Why can't we do this? Why can't we? Why can't we? We were in Boston, and you saw that woman with the garbage bags. What happened?
Tell the story, Dom.
I saw her in Boston, and why didn't she have a purse? So I felt like she needed a purse. She needed a purse to hold something. I didn't want to see people holding around garbage bags with their belongings in it. I feel like people deserve a purse, a backpack.
Just one. He said, why can't she just have one nice thing? I said, well, you know, this is the choice. She's not going to walk around with a handbag. She made it. This is a choice between being able to maybe feed herself or whatever and have this bag. And his response was, well, why can't we give her a bag? Why can't we do something so that she has one nice thing in her life? And from that point, we started collecting bags. His comment was, you know, about Mama's closet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, she has like tons of purses in there that she doesn't use.
Mama has all of these purses in the bottom of her closet that she never uses. Why don't you think other women have those too? Why can't we just collect all of them and put stuff in them that people need? You know, like, you know, hair stuff and combs and you know, lotions and things that they might need for, you know, and we'd throw socks in there or t-shirts or, you know, feminine products, hygiene issue, anything that they need, we put in these bags. And at that point, it started an avalanche. And there's still, if you walk into my office, there's still boxes there of purses that came in from a woman runs a hair salon in Melbourne, Florida, who saw us on the internet. And so she had all of her patrons send in handbags. A delivery came in from California. We had some come in from Canada. Just staggered, because once we're out there and the word gets spread and people are sharing, you know, and we're still taking them in. I get messages, you know, from Dominic's friends and teachers. Are you still taking purses? Are you still taking backpacks? Yeah, you know, we're always taking them, and then we fill them and get them into the hands of people who need them.
What's Dumps? What's it like when you are able to give somebody who is down on their luck a purse with all these items? What is it like to be able to give back for you, knowing that this started with a simple idea and has grown where people are giving you items, are donating money, sending dimes?
It's one of the happiest feelings in the world to know that people out there are being given the stuff they need because of one person's like need to know that they're
generosity helping. It's nice to know in today's world, the way things are, especially if you look at Facebook, oh my goodness, it's like a bomb went off. It's nice to know that there are people who still have a heart, right, Dom?
Yep.
Has it always gone according to plan? Because your dad was telling me a story in regards to, and I don't know if you want to tell it, but something in regards to pizza. You guys, with your generosity, where you want to at least give back to people, and your generosity was kind of something that some officials weren't too pleased about. Do you want to tell that story?
So this new pizza place opened up nearby us, and I really like the pizza there, and it's good and it's cheap. So I told my dad, why can't we hold like a pizza event thing? Like we get a bunch of pizzas and we give out slices or boxes. And my dad talked to the people who own the pizza place, and we ended up getting 200, 300 pizzas.
It was about less than 200. We got about, 115 small
cheese
pizzas.
Pepperoni.
Cheese pepperoni. We got different kinds because you never know what people are going to like. so we headed off to a place where we knew that there were a lot of people who congregated.
Sure.
And we went to Perkins Park in Brockton, which is a notorious sort of a hot spot in the political landscape as far as, you know, the homeless issue. So we went out there and started handing out pizzas. And what happened when we got the message? We were shooed away by law enforcement, and then we received a couple of emails from government officials saying, you can't do this again.
They're wagging the finger at you.
You can't do it again. Yep. You're not licensed to do this, and you are creating a nuisance. In my head, what I'm hearing is you're creating a nuisance by feeding people. And I understand that we don't want people to congregate here. Yeah. We don't want them to come in because by doing this, you're making it okay for them to be there. And in a city, in certain locations, in certain cities, one thing that they're trying to do is shoo the homeless away. Mm. The mayor in Brockton, one of his solutions was to gate the park. And we went there to do another event. We were planning something, and there were fences around the park, which ostensibly were doing work in the park.
To the statues, wasn't it?
To the statues. Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, I've been back. The fence is down. It took them a good 6 months. Those statues look the same.
Maybe they're warm weather fences.
It very well could have been. Goodness gracious! But I'll tell you that whatever work they did, they made them look as good as they did before.
Okay.
But what the problem that I was talking about with Dominic, with when you're doing these kinds of outreaches, is city organizations don't want the homeless around, and so they do what they can to shoo them out. They bulldozed Tent City twice.
Yeah, yeah.
We had the idea to provide tents for people, and before we were able to get the tents out, they had bulldozed Tent City twice. We had one official say to us that if people like you keep doing this, you're going to make it very easy for them to remain homeless.
So they're saying that you're enabling the homeless?
That in essence, by feeding them, we're making their lives easy, which makes them not want to do something to help themselves, which is the same argument that people were using in Florida when they arrested somebody, 91-year-old gentleman who would bring sandwiches out to the homeless, and they arrested him and put him in for over 2 weeks, basically saying you don't have a victualler's license, so you can't feed people.
Oh, right, right.
And he won his case ultimately, took it almost all the way to the United States Supreme Court, and they finally backed away. But his First Amendment right of association, he can go out and do this. It's part of his mission.
So you know what? With every long road, there's going to be a bump. There's going to be a detour. Mm-hmm. Don, what would you say you've learned along this road, and looking ahead to 2018, looking ahead for the future of Dom's Dimes? Give me your thoughts on some of the plans and some of the things you'd like to do that's kind of swimming around in your head.
Lots of things are swimming around in my head for ideas.
And that's not a bad thing. That's awesome.
We've been thinking of a lot of events. I really want to redo the pizza thing, but we obviously know there's problems that would come with that. I want to do a Thanksgiving event. I haven't discussed it with my dad yet. Hi.
just letting you know, Dad, that this is what I'm thinking about. But what some of the things that maybe you have in the works that you have an opportunity with the 5 minutes that we have remaining here, that if you wanted to kind of tease folks and have folks just to be paying attention to any website or social media sites that you have as you're putting it together and you're planning it.
We're planning on making a website soon.
Okay.
We have there are multiple platforms where you can follow us in terms of finding out what we're doing and where we're going. We have facebook.com/DomsDimes10. And if you go into Facebook and just punch in Dom's Dimes, it'll come up. But we have two different platforms for donations. As I said, we have a GoFundMe site that continues to run at GoFundMe.com/DomsDimes10. Dom's Dimes 10 is always going to be our tag, the number 10 after Dom's Dimes. But we have the biggest events that we have coming up as we head into the winter months. We're still collecting women's bags and things of that nature to hand those out. We have women's and men's coats coming in. If you have old coats or jackets that you have a need to get rid of to make space, we will take them off your hands. If you reach out to us at Dom's Dimes, we can come get them from you. We can meet at a location and take those jackets from you and coats. Again, bags are always something we need. One thing that is huge that is a year-round need are socks. You wouldn't necessarily think about it, but having a clean pair of socks when all else around you is not necessarily what you might consider up to snuff and up to par for normalcy, quote unquote, having a couple of clean pairs of socks makes a huge difference for folks, and we get that request constantly when we're out on the street.
Being an actor, And you know where I don't know if you know where I'm going to go with this, but the first thing that popped into my head was Forrest Gump and Lieutenant Dan.
Sure, yeah.
And that was one of the things that he was preaching to Gump was making sure you have a clean pair of socks. It was the first thing I thought of.
Two pairs of socks, one on, one off. Always got to make sure because the jungle will eat your feet.
There you go. Exactly. Look at that. Perfect. It was beautiful.
We are always looking for socks. As I said, we have a huge event coming up with Father Bill's, where each year they have their residents have what they call a shopping day. And it's both at Father Bill's in Quincy and at the Mainspring facility in Brockton.
Yep.
Where they have their residents and their clients come in, and large tables are set up throughout the room, and they're allowed to pick items for their own families to give as gifts. They can take one thing for themselves, and they can take a number of other things for children, family members. But when you look at homeless people, if I asked all of you out there listening today to close your eyes and think of a homeless person and draw a picture in your mind, what you're going to likely put in there is a man, probably in his 40s or 50s, unshaven, unkempt, wearing multiple layers of clothing and pushing around a shopping cart. That's the picture people have in their head.
It's not always accurate, though.
It's not. The majority of the homeless right now are women. 51% of the homeless people in shelters are women, and of that 51%, 4 out of 5 of them have children with them in their homeless shelter or otherwise. It is a huge issue. When you think that 1 out of 5 children in America this year will for at least one day be homeless, that's what drives us to do what we do. That's what drives other organizations to do what they do, because if you're going to be forgotten, we won't forget you. And we at Dom's Dimes are not an organization that writes checks. We want to go hand to hand, one on one, with the people who need it. And that comes directly from Dominic. We want to go out and put it in your hands, what you need. If you ask for it, we can get it for you. But it's always going to be one to one, hand to hand, making sure that if you need, you get.
Well, I want to thank you, Dominic, for at least starting this venture, and I hope it continues to grow. Last question I'll ask you real quick, because we're about out of time. How's the apparel side of things? I know I am right now wearing the T-shirt. I didn't realize that there was a sweatshirt of this. But I wear this proudly, and I'm not wearing it just because you were here today. You just got lucky that this was a part of the T-shirt cycle. This happened to pop up today, so... are you still selling shirts?
We do. If you go to, there's a Cafe Press site, yep. cafepress.com. If you put in Dom's Dimes 10, there are sweatshirts, there are T-shirts, there are coffee mugs, there are stickers and car magnets, etc. But I want to especially thank our graphic designer who put out this tremendous design, Kels Ferguson. Did our graphics work on it.
She does an awesome job.
Fabulous work. If you go to our Facebook page, you will see more of her work. Our banner was also her creation. And once we get our website up and running, you'll see more of her work as well. But she just did outstanding work, and I can't say enough good things about what she did for us to help us get on our way.
Excellent. All right. Well, you're going to stay here, Chris. Dom, you're going to kind of sit the motoring as we're going to step aside just for a moment. Second hour of Monday Night Talk, a little segment that I'm going to finally call, I'm stealing from him, Chris Chat. And we get a couple of subjects that we want to talk about. I asked him if he would be willing to share his legal mind that he has. And he's willing to do that before he runs off to town meeting in Whitman. So stay tuned. More Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny & Sons Auto Glass in Pembroke. People ask me, is there anything they can do to prevent getting a broken windshield?
Is there anything I can do to prevent getting a broken windshield?
See? There is. Those big gravel trucks, when they're being loaded, rocks get stuck in the framework of the bed. Truck hits a bump, rock hits your windshield. It pays to stay way back.
It pays to stay way back.
However, if your windshield is broken, just call 1-888-64-TINIES. And thank you.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
download previous episodes of Monday Night Talk and listen to them anywhere. Check out 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we are back here for the second hour of Monday Night Talk. Coming up later on this hour, Michael Faherty from the Living Word Church. We're going to talk a little bit about the Wonder of Christmas and their production of A Christmas Clause. So stay tuned for that coming up at the bottom of the hour. But right now, we move forward. And right now, flying solo is Mr. Chris DiOrio. He's an attorney. I believe your office is in Quincy, right?
My office is in Quincy, yes.
Office is in Quincy, practicing law. And I was intrigued to ask Chris to do this because I follow, he's a Facebook friend. He's a friend in general. But some of the things that he posts are very provocative, and they're thought-provoking as well. As to the point is it isn't a matter of just rubber-stamping an issue, but playing devil's advocate and go, but what if? And one of the things that he had actually brought up, one of the things he just did recently at the local community college, the Brockton campus of Massasoit, was he actually had a conversation in regards to the Fourth Amendment, police interaction, search and seizure. And it actually triggered a thought in my head. I'm going to share this with you now, Chris. I had not too long ago, my missus, who is probably listening right now, remembers this well, because my kids live out in the Midwest. I have two kids that live in South Dakota. I have one kid that lives in Indiana. And the idea was just to go out and to visit them. I rented a car in Indiana, drove to South Dakota, was on my way back. Now, at that time, I had a little bit of facial growth. I am a Mediterranean man. My heritage is Italian, but if I grow a little facial hair, I could be perceived to be from other countries that are not favorable to the Christian world. I'm just gonna leave it like that. And so myself and the missus were driving. This was on a, it was a, it was later on in the afternoon. Storm clouds were gathering. This isn't fiction. It was so crazy how this happened. And we're driving along. All of a sudden, we get pulled over. Now we're in a rental car. Officer comes up, walks license and registration, and asks my missus to accompany him to her vehicle. Okay? And so, oddly enough, he was asking questions. Do you know this man? How long have you known this man? What do you have in the car? Do you mind if I search your vehicle? All kinds of stuff like that. Now, we had Florida license plates. Again, it was a rental vehicle. But he was asking all these questions of her. Now, for some reason, the thunder and lightning was really picking up, and it was seconds from pouring, and he released us because I know it sounds strange, but it was so odd because we looked at each other, and she looked at me, and she goes, if only you had shaven that stuff off your face, we probably wouldn't have been pulled over. I go, that wasn't it. But I wanted to share that story because, again, I was somebody who I feel as though I was a victim of whether it was because I was profiled or was because, you know what, I was, you know, let's be honest here. Everybody watched the Dukes of Hazzard, and I'm sure that, you know, maybe I was a part of a, you know, they needed to get their numbers up in order to, you know, to take care of finances in the county. I don't know. But this happens to people all the time, and they don't know what to do if they get pulled over. And you were having a conversation with somebody not too long ago where you kind of gave the basics of if you get pulled over, you have certain rights that you cannot be pushed. Now, an officer can ask you certain questions, but how you answer could end up being something that's held against you. Is that correct, Chris?
Absolutely. When you have police interactions, regardless of whether it's a street interaction or whether it's operating your vehicle, you have certain rights in relation to that interaction. The police are allowed, whether you are in a car or on the street, if you're a pedestrian, the police are allowed to ask you your name, and you must give it. They're allowed to ask you your address, and you must give it. Basic, what they call pedigree information, your name and your address. And if they ask you for identification, and you have a driver's license or a Massachusetts ID or whatever else it is that you have, you are obligated not just to take out your license and show it to them, but to take it and put it physically in their hands. And that is it. You do not have any other obligation to answer questions, whether you are in your vehicle or on the street, to law enforcement, regardless of how insistent, regardless of what the situation is. You do not have an obligation to carry on a conversation with people. The example that I give is when a police officer pulls you over, They have not pulled you over. I defy any of you out there listening right now to have been pulled over by the police. None of them have walked up to your window, knocked on it, and said, hey, boy, that Tom Brady, he's the GOAT, isn't he? Boy, let me tell you, that goalie controversy, you know, up in Boston, they have not stopped you to have a friendly conversation. They have stopped you because you are under suspicion, or you have done something in their estimation that has violated the law, be it minor or major. So you're not, at that moment, dealing with officer friendly. You are dealing with law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And as such, in that conversation, you do not have an obligation to help them do their job to potentially put yourself in jeopardy. So if you are in that situation and you are a pedestrian, what you say is, if they continue to ask questions, A, I'm not answering your questions, and B, assert your right to an attorney at that moment. What people also fail to recognize is, in terms of what your Miranda rights are, they don't apply right when the cuffs go on, if they go on. What the police have to be doing at that moment is asking questions in a custodial interrogative fashion, to use layman's terms. Are you free to leave? And would the answers to these questions potentially get you in trouble?
Hmm.
And if that's what's going on, you don't have to answer them.
Well, because usually a stock question when an officer, and I'm a law-abiding person, and knowing how things have gone over the past couple of years and the safety of the folks who don the uniform, I give full respect. And knowing that if I get pulled over, these are things I do personally. Both hands on my wheel. I don't move. I'll put the window down a certain amount, but I don't make any sudden moves because, you know what, this individual is just as much, you know, I don't want to say fearful, but he's being cautious in case I am somebody who has malicious intent.
He does not know who you are.
He doesn't know who I am. I'm a stranger, and he's got to be ready for anything that happens. So I keep my hands on the wheel. If he asks me for my license and registration, if I have to go into the glove box or I have to go anywhere else, I tell him what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But a stock question that they usually ask, do you know why I pulled you over? I would think that I would say, no, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. Would that be a plausible answer? Or do I say, I can't say anything?
What I would tell you is, you don't answer those questions. But if you were going to say something, if you felt obligated, and that's what happens so often.
We feel obligated.
We have been trained from the first moment, you know, police come and visit your class when you're in the first or second grade and all of those things, to be good citizens.
Yeah.
That part of our good citizenship obligation is to communicate with law enforcement and to answer their questions. And we are fearful of the badge, and we're fearful of the lights, and the whole involvement of a police interaction, when you think about it, is scary. If anybody were to put a blood pressure cuff on you in that moment, regardless of whether everything changes. The lights flashing, the headlights on your lights, they're specifically trained to put the lights on the mirrors so that the inside of the vehicle is lit. The officer approaches, they're in control immediately, and we feel out of control. And so in that respect, we do sheepish things. But what I'm saying is, what I advise folks is, you don't answer questions. You just don't. If you're going to answer that question, if you feel obligated, you simply say no. And they
no,
can
sir. No, sir, no, ma'am.
So no, at least you're giving... that's it. Just be
no.
Be respectful. But you know, what I'm not telling anybody to get up, you know, to get up in police officers' faces. What I'm saying is,
well, that escalates. That's the one thing. I know some people their emotions kick into overdrive when a situation happens. I understand that. And you know what? Some of us have not been in a situation, depending on where we are from culturally or what the color of our skin is. But knowing that I am not an African-American. I am an Italian-American. But, you know, again, what I look like when I got pulled over at that time makes me wonder. Mm-hmm. that if that had something to do with it, or if it was just a matter, it was just a stop because I had Florida plates.
A swarthy fellow with Florida plates driving through the upper Midwest, you are going to get stopped.
How dare you come through the Bible Belt?
No different than if you were wearing a turban at the North Dakota airport. You're going to be selected for special attention at that point. It just happens. But I think there is... The advice that I get when I talked at Massasoit and whenever I give this advice to students, it is across the board. What I try to impress upon folks when I give these kinds of talks is it's not a question of disrespect. This is when I talk about not assisting law enforcement with helping them jam you up. When I talk about all of those things, I have had these folks say that, well, you're anti-government or this is anti-law enforcement. And what I would say very simply is that this country does not exist but for dissent. That if not for a bunch of folks in powdered wigs, thumbing their nose at a government, 3,000 miles away saying, no, you're wrong, we're out. And by the way, you don't get our money anymore. Dissent is the ultimate patriotic act, so I don't see it as being a problem to say that law enforcement may be acting beyond their bounds. So yes, say no. Don't if you're stopped on the street and the interaction begins to get out of hand, the questions you ask are the following. Am I under arrest? If the answer to that question is no, walk. They cannot pursue you. Don't run. Walk away.
Mm.
At that point, they then have to come up with a reason to detain you. And if they had a reason beforehand, they would have already told you and they would have escalated the conversation. If they say, yes, you're under arrest, the next question you ask is, what are the charges? You are entitled to know. And if they say anything about you're being detained, immediately ask for counsel and don't ask any questions until counsel arrives, whether it's on the scene or at the police department, whatever. Same thing in a motor vehicle. If you are in a motor vehicle and you are stopped by law enforcement and they ask for the license and registration and they ask you that question, do you know why I pulled you over? The next question, depending on the time of evening when they pull you over, have you been drinking? Where have you been? Where are you going? You're not answering those questions for a variety of reasons. One of them being when you carry on a conversation, if in fact you have maybe had a drink earlier in the evening, that conversation is potentially incriminating, and your speech is slurred for whatever reason. Maybe it's 1 o'clock in the morning and you're just dog tired. But if you can't carry on a decent conversation with law enforcement, you're now speaking with slurred speech.
Right.
If you're fumbling around in the dark looking for your license, now you're acting in a furtive manner. You're unable to handle your bag. Then, at no point do you get out of the vehicle. At no point do you voluntarily get out of the vehicle because of all of the protections that we have in the Fourth Amendment regarding unreasonable search and seizure. There are a multitude of exceptions, and one of them is consent. And if you consent to having an officer search your car or search your person, or if you consent to field sobriety tests, if that's an issue, if you give consent, much of your Fourth Amendment protection goes out the window. So if you want to maintain, and again, when we're talking about the breathalyzer and any field sobriety tests, again, you don't know what the circumstances are, and you are giving a subjective person at that point who already believes that you have done something wrong, you are putting it in their hands to determine whether or not you are going to spend your evening in jail and waking up in the Quincy or Plymouth or Brockton District
custody or whether
whatever
it's
it is, at that point, you've lost your liberty. And so at that point, you have the same rights. Am I under arrest? What am I being charged with? I give folks cards now that will tell you that you don't even have to speak. If you have this card with you, all you have to do is give it to the officer and point to the part where it says, I am not answering your questions. I would like to speak with my attorney as soon as I have the opportunity to make a phone call. I am not consenting to any field sobriety tests, and I am not consenting to a breathalyzer. And the officer reads that, and they can do as they wish with it. And one of the reasons why they push the tests is if you take a breathalyzer test and you fail, the prosecution conviction rate is over 95%. If you refuse to take the test, and by the way, in Massachusetts, if you refuse to take a breathalyzer, your refusal cannot be used against you at trial. They can't say he refused to take the test and use it as evidence.
I'm trying to think, though, if there was a belief that if, in fact, you refused to take the breathalyzer, that something could happen in regards to your motor vehicle license.
There is, in fact, a registry punishment for refusing to take the test. And used to be on about 7 or 8 years ago, if you took the test and failed, if you blew a .08 or higher, if you took the test and failed, your license was suspended for 90 days. Right. That's a registry suspension on top of whatever you get in court. If you refused, your license would be suspended for 120 days. Well, even a drunk can do the math there. You know, so what they did when they passed a number of the legislations that made it, you know, that strengthened the drunk driving laws, if you take the breathalyzer and fail, your license is only suspended for 30 days. If you refuse, it's 180 days. Why did they make it more of a punishment to refuse?
Because
they want you to take that test, and one of the main reasons why is if you refuse, and if they don't have a blood alcohol level at trial, the prosecution's rate of success is 43%. They don't win those cases. They win when there's a breathalyzer.
Right.
And now the SJC just this past Friday certified that the machine that they've been using that was in question as to its accuracy, the SJC said that the test was in fact valid, so they can go back to using these breathalyzers on a regular basis. But that does not mean that you should submit to them.
Okay. Again, we're speaking with Chris DiIorio, attorney at law, I've been always fascinated with some of the discussions and the arguments that he puts forth on his personal social media page. But he does it in a manner just to generate conversation. And he has this thing called Chris Chat. So if anything, I'm borrowing that, and hopefully we can do regular segments, because a lot of the stuff he puts up there, as I said, it's thought-provoking. I think it's fantastic. And I think, you know what, knowledge is power. And any way that you can educate yourself with these little nuggets, the better you are.
It began. I have so many people who ask questions. They see things that are coming up. I started Chris Chat a while ago, after the election and before the election last year in 2016. People asking me questions about constitutional issues. Aside from my law practice, I teach constitutional law.
You're segueing on me.
Civil rights and liberties.
You're segueing on me.
There you go.
Go ahead. Please do. Tell them what you do.
As part of that, in lecturing on constitutional law, I began to do these Chris Chats where it's a video segment on Facebook. You can find them on YouTube as well. If you look at Chris Chat Live for Facebook purposes, it's anywhere between 45 minutes to an hour about constitutional law issues. And it started, in essence, like I said, in 2016, but I've been... You know, I've had folks who know that that I love watching the court and I love the Supreme Court. I've been a person who follows them and has taught in that arena for the better part of 20 odd years. As a criminal defense attorney, you need to know what the court is doing. And so people ask questions and I answer them. And I figured this might be a good way to reach out and let people not just listen and read, but to actually be able to chime in on Facebook Live, who they can then ask questions as I'm talking, and it's a great venue through digital media to answer questions about the court and your individual rights.
But you've also been donating to folks, anybody who asked. I think I was one of those who asked.
Correct.
For a copy of what?
I give a United States Constitution to anybody who asks. I met with Hillary Clinton recently when she was in Boston on her book tour, and I have been giving out to anyone who asks a free copy of the United States Constitution with the Bill of Rights and Declaration of Independence attached. It is imperative that to play the game here in America that you understand the basic rules. Mm. And they are right there in a small little book, 4,592 words right there. That you can have in your possession whenever you need it. And so I've I put 400 of them in the Central Falls school system in Rhode Island. I've given them to multiple classrooms and teachers, but we've given out at this point now we're up over 5,000 constitutions just in the local area and another 5,000 beyond. But I got a chance to put one of my ChrisChat constitutions into the hands of Hillary Clinton last week.
Did you wow her?
And she was a little bit stunned by it and took it as a gift, even though we were told not to give gifts. but her little handler was very upset. But she came up and I said, I explained what I was doing with the ChrisChat constitutions and how important it was. And she looked me dead. She grabbed my hands and she looked me dead in the eye and she said, you know what? Do you understand? I think you do. That one of the biggest problems we have in this country is a basic absence of understanding of civics and what the government can and cannot do.
Yep.
And what you're doing is tremendous work, and we need more educators like you. And she took it, and then as I was walking away, she said, which was scary and funny altogether, you know what? I've been in government for over 30 years now. I've never had one of these.
Oh, my.
She doesn't have... I know she knows what the Constitution says. I know that's the case. But she didn't. She doesn't have one with her.
She does now.
And now she does. And she took it and she put it with
Chris Chat.
And so that was great. And then the day after that, I got a call from a professor at Wellesley who wants me to put constitutions in her political science department. So tremendously important. And it's a something I love to do and will continue to do. And if you want one, Kevin will get you the information.
Absolutely. MondayNightTalk@gmail.com if you are interested. And again, any segments that you hear and you have questions, you always can feel free to drop an email. I want to, we've got a few minutes left here because you're going to run out the door for Whitman's special town meeting, which convenes at 7:30.
True.
And I believe that you are a member of the Finance Committee.
Committee.
So you'll be there in short order. I swear he will be. You and I wanted to also talk a little bit about something that is up before the U.S. Supreme Court. You had talked about some of the stuff that you like following and watching. They recently just did some oral arguments, Carpenter versus the U.S., and this is in regards to your cell phone and the information that it has and its availability. If you will, kind of finish that conversation.
This will be a major case that the United States Supreme Court will probably decide sometime in late spring, early summer when their session ends. But it revolves around digital privacy and what law enforcement can do in relation to information that you have on your cell phone. The old adage is that hard cases make bad law, and this is one of those situations where if you look at the facts of the case, you wonder whether this is something that you mind happening. But it dealt with a number of bank robberies. Law enforcement couldn't, there are 8 or 9 bank robberies in a particular area, and law enforcement decided to take what are called tower dumps. They took all of the information from cell phones that were used in the vicinity of the banks where the robberies took place. And they were able to discern, based on taking this information down, that the particular person that they were looking at was in the vicinity within half an hour, give or take, of that tower, and therefore was near that bank. Here's the issue, however. If you look at your cell phone right now and you walk around with it, it is, for all intents and purposes, your life in your hand. All of your private information, all of your personal information, bank information, et cetera, is all right there. And every time you use your phone, you are sending a signal to the nearest cell tower. And whatever you send, a phone message, a text message, whatever you're using that tower for, that information is stored in that tower. And so right now you can be located by means of a tower dump, which is what they did in this case. If you expect that your location is one of those things that you should have privacy in, if you believe that your cell phone is something that should not be used as a GPS tracking device by law enforcement, then you don't like what the government did in this case. However, what they're arguing is on the other side is whenever you, it's what's called the third party doctrine. Whenever you give information voluntarily away, you've lost your rights to it. Law enforcement without a warrant can get your bank records. because under the argument that you've voluntarily given them to the bank to do your transactions. Law enforcement can get every phone number that you have dialed without a warrant under the Stored Communications Act based on this third-party doctrine. What they're saying is that when you make a call or when you send a text message or when you use Wi-Fi or whatever it is, you have now lost your rights to whatever you put out there, and we can use it to track you down. And that, I think, sends a tremendously bad signal for, you know, pardon the pun, to those of us who believe that what we have with us, this, you know, as the Supreme Court said 3 years ago in a case that came out of Massachusetts, that this is the equivalent of your file cabinet following you around for the rest of your life,
yep,
and in a small hand. So if you don't mind the government being able to locate you whenever they wish and to see where you are, if you don't mind Big Brother on your shoulder, to use the Orwellian verse, then by all means, this is a great thing. But and if you want to argue, well, I don't have a fear of what's on my phone because I'm not violating the law. Well, you may not have violated the law today, but once you've given that information away, now it belongs to them, and they can use it for whatever they wish. The arguments were heard this past week. I am of the opinion that the court will not allow what happened to – they will overturn the conviction of Mr. Carpenter.
Okay.
But that remains to be seen. In fact, Justice Gorsuch, the new judge who people thought was a Judge Scalia clone, actually might be the swing vote in this case, and it seems based on his questioning that he may in fact be more inclined to side with Mr. Carpenter than with the government.
So, very nice. And when might we hear the results of this?
Normally, cases argued around this time would be decided sometime around the end of March, beginning of April. But sometimes these big, juicy decisions like this one, like the Masterpiece Cake Shop case, which is coming up later on down the road, like the travel ban case, sometimes they hold those until June. Some people believe that they hold them until June so that the court can run away and not have to answer any questions. they wait until the last week of the session, and then they disappear and go to their islands and start giving speeches for $50,000 a shot.
Well, we're plumb out of time. I want to thank you so much for joining me. Let's try to do this on a regular basis.
Love to come back. Thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk.
And here's the thing is if you happen to come up with something you feel that would make a nice, meaty half an hour, you know how to reach me.
I'll send you along.
You too. Happy holidays to you.
And to you as well and to your family.
Kevin. And we're going to step aside. And speaking of holidays, we're going to speak with Mr. Faherty and find out a little bit of what they got in store this coming weekend, the 15th, 16th, and 17th. You are listening to Monday Night Talk here at 95.9 WATD.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Ever see a windshield crack grow smaller? Not ever. I'm Peter Brown of Tiny & Sons Glass in Pembroke. Windshield cracks grow like a bad toothache. The reason is, you come out of your warm house into cold air. You reach for that cold door handle. Your windshield is cold. You turn on a defroster. Your windshield is hot. Windshield expands. Not much, just enough to pull that crack along. Advice, check your windshield now. Little dings, starburst, bullseyes. We'll fix them before they grow awful. Just call 1-888-64-TINIES. And thank you.
Be a part of the show. Call and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk.
Welcome back to the final segment of Monday Night Talk. And we haven't had a chance on this program yet this year to talk about the holidays. We've yet to have an opportunity to talk about Christmas.
Yes.
I know with some folks, there's kind of a little bit of a fight back in regards to the holidays, or don't say Christmas. Well, those who are offended by using the word Christmas, I hope you'll stay tuned in, because we have a fantastic guest for this segment. He has been here prior, been on Monday Night Talk last year, and he's here to tell us a little bit about some great events that are taking place December 15th, 16th, and 17th all taking place at the Living Word Church. They are new to the town of Norwell. We have Michael Faraday, who is here with me, and he is with them. Michael, welcome back to Monday Night Talk.
Kevin, thank you so much for having me. Merry Christmas, and Merry Christmas to everyone who's out there listening.
Michael, if you will, kind of give us the details about a fantastic series of days, starting with this Friday and going right through the weekend. And I believe it's a Christmas clause, I guess the Wonder of Christmas is being presenting this, correct?
Yes. So real quickly, the Wonder of Christmas is an event that we've put on for the past 4 years. The whole goal of the Wonder of Christmas, well, number one, we do want to create a destination for families and people to come and experience Christmas, to get that warm kind of fuzzy feeling that Christmas brings. And we do it in a creative and excellent and very value-driven way for people. So number one, I would just say this, that if people are looking to do something Christmassy, let's go look at Christmas lights, let's go into Boston, let's go visit Jordan's to see what's going on there. We just hope that we get put on that list as one of those stops as something that is Christmassy. So we call that the Wonder of Christmas. It does have a website, thewonderofchristmas.net, if you wanted to dig in deeper about that. Mm-hmm. But our main presentation this year is a creative drama called A Christmas Clause. So when people come to the Wonder of Christmas, they're going to included, you know, in their $5 admission is a production called A Christmas Clause. And this is something that's funny, it's creative, there's some history elements into it, there's adults, there's children, there's bad guys, but ultimately it's a creative retelling of the Santa Claus story. And we believe we do it in a way that's super entertaining and really does it in a way that brings a lot of excellence to the subject matter.
What goes into putting on a show like this? And is it one show per day, or are there multiple shows each day?
Okay, that's a great question. We're only running for 3 days. So we're on Friday the 15th, Saturday the 16th, and on the 17th. So one show per day. Okay. So when you show up and you come there, the main thing that you'll go to first is the production. So and what goes on in putting a production together, it is a multifaceted living organism that when you get everything firing off at the right time, it creates a really magical experience. And again, this is hosted by Living Word Church. And one of the things that we have is we want to do something that really is something that our community would enjoy, but also with artistic excellence and integrity and a high level of standards in what we do.
How much work has gone into providing that integrity and excellence? Because it isn't something that you just, you know, last weekend set up and like, all right, we're ready to go. You have to build, you have to have a set, you have to have a cast.
Yep.
You have to have practices, do a little bit of, you know, getting everybody on the same page, unless you're able to retain a majority of the folks who did it last year.
I would say on average for someone, so if someone shows up at 7 o'clock on Friday night, with their family and they see the production, what they don't see is probably the 200 hours of man hours that go into creating that. And that's the practices that have to happen. It's wardrobe, it's
props,
musical score, all of these things, all the timing. So we do have video elements in there. We have flashback scenes that had to be pre-recorded and done that way. We have lighting that has to be done, props. All of these things are super important. So, yeah, we take it serious, but we take Christmas serious. And if we do it right, all of this is invisible and people just have a great time.
Well, you're talking to a guy who, while you know I've talked to you about my radio experience and my TV experience, I've also done community theater.
Yes.
So I have seen both sides of it. I've been the guy who, when if I'm my character isn't on stage,
yep,
I'm helping to move a set piece around.
Right.
You know, depending on how many different acts there are in that particular performance.
Yes.
So it takes a lot, and it takes a village to be able to put something like this on, and it takes a lot of rehearsal time to be able to get the timing down and to be able to hit your marks when it comes to connecting with your audience.
But as you know, because you're involved, you've been involved in community theater, when everything is right, there is magic that
yes.
happens. You literally transport families and kids and moms and dads and grandparents into a, so this is a historical, you know, this has a historical piece to it. We bring them back in time. And even though this is a fictional retelling, they actually believe for that moment that they're part of that story and they're part of this time period. And it makes it exciting when that all fires off at the right time.
And again, as Michael told you, it's going to be December 15th. I believe 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
And then you have two matinees, December 16th and 17th are at 3 p.m.
At 3 p.m., exactly.
Now, we'll get back to the performance side of things in just a moment. I don't know if you want to share any of the cast or any other nuances with A Christmas Clause. But there are other things that folks can have an opportunity to enjoy, courtesy of A Wonder of Christmas. You're going to have Santa there.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. What's Christmas without Santa Claus? So, when people come to The Wonder of Christmas, we know that the main thing they're going to see is a production, mm-hmm. and that that will run about 40 to 45 minutes. But we do want to have other things available. We don't want people to have to rush out, and we want that magical kind of feeling to continue. So Santa Claus will be there. If you want your child to go sit on his lap, let them know what they want for Christmas, that is available. If they wanted to take photos with Santa, it is an extra cost, but they can go ahead and do that. And we do something different. We don't just give the 8x10s and, the wallet-sized ones. We make super jumbo prints if you are really radical about having a giant wall piece for your children. So we have like 13x27 prints if you want. So we just want to go above and beyond. If that's where you're at and you want to remember that moment and in high def, you can.
And that's incredible because I have never heard of anybody providing such a service that you can have one that is, so big.
Yeah.
Instead of just something that you can stick in your wallet or you put up on your dresser. You just like put up on your wall. You frame the gosh darn thing.
Yeah, you can have a portrait.
You can have a portrait.
A portrait memory.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, bring it out every Christmas. Throw it on the wall.
And just so you said, cost is $5 for this.
Yes.
But you also have a special price for families of four or more.
Yeah, that's important. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to make sure that this was a value event, which means that if you spend the $5, that you feel like you really got your money's worth. But there are some families, they have two kids, three kids, four kids, five kids, and we wanted to have a family package, which means that you're only going to pay for four or more for $20. So if you have, seven kids, you're not going to pay $35, seven people, you're not going to pay $35, you'll only pay $20. So families of four or more have a family ticket price.
So it's almost like when back in the day, and I'm dating myself a little bit here, although there is one in Mendon, when you go to the drive-in.
Yeah.
You know, it's as many people you fit in the car, the gosh darn car.
That's right.
And then you all pile out once you find your parking spot.
And if you show up at the door and there's someone who definitely doesn't look like your family and they look like they're just trying to tag along, we are going to let them in under that family price too. We are not going to go ahead and drill anyone. As long as you show up together, we're going to let you in, just like the drive-in.
So it won't be like the Sesame Street thing. Which one of these things isn't like the other? If you come as a group, come as a group.
Yeah, if you say you're a family group, then you can get the family ticket.
Let's say, folks, there are those out there. You and I have had sidebar discussions in regards to Disney because both of us like Disney. We've
yes.
done the Disney experience.
Absolutely.
During the break, I was telling you, I just recently got back from Disneyland Paris, and I was discussing about my missus, who is one of those people who she's got a whole itinerary. I mean, she had the itinerary already printed out like 2 months ago.
I love people like that.
I love people like that.
You just
that
follow
well.
Them around and enjoy the magic.
Although, I don't know if she loves me so much because she, in my mannerisms, because I'm not necessarily the person who wants to be there when the rope is dropped at 8 a.m. I would rather straggle in at 10 o'clock.
That's right.
Or 10:30. But she puts up with that, and she's an angel for that. Why am I saying all this? Is because what if there's one of those people out there who doesn't want to pay at the door? They would rather purchase the tickets online. Can they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go to thewonderofchristmas.net, you can buy single tickets or family tickets, and they're available now. And there's an e-commerce section, so you can click, drop it into your shopping cart, and check out that way. And people have already begun to buy tickets. So what happens is you will get an email, you'll have a confirmation of your tickets that you can print out, but let's say you forget that, we will have a record of that at the door, almost like a will call, so we'll know that you're coming, and if you forget it, you just give us your name and tell us who you are, and we'll match that to your ticket.
And again, we're speaking with Michael Faraday. He is with the Living Word Church, here to talk about the Wonder of Christmas, which of course they are presenting a Christmas clause, but there are a whole bunch of other things that are taking place. We talked a little bit about pictures with Santa, portraits. Hey, of course, it comes with a cost. But there's also, we didn't talk about this, an intermission light show. What does that entail?
Yeah, so we want to go ahead and make the element of surprise something, wonderful about this. So we will have an intermission during our production. But what we're going to do at that intermission is we're going to have a computerized, synchronized light show inside the auditorium. So we have a professional voiceover, say, ladies and gentlemen, stay in your seats for this. And then all of a sudden...
Is it you?
No, we pay someone.
Okay.
We pay someone to go ahead
and
do that.
Because
that was
pretty good.
Yeah. No, it isn't me. A lower voice,
okay,
more dramatic one. And at that moment, the whole place comes alive with music, and the lights are 360 over your head, on the walls, up front. So it's a really wow type of experience. So I'm not going to judge anyone else's Christmas experience, but someone told me in rehearsal that it was better than the Jordan's laser light show for Christmas. I don't know what they mean by that, but they say it is better than that. So I'm just going to take their word for it and let you know that if you know what that reference means, that this possibly is better than that.
Wow. And for $5 a person, unless you come as a crowd for 20,
yeah,
that's fantastic, yeah, value.
I think the light show itself is worth the $5, but really? You're going to get so much more. You're going to get so much more. And our hope and desire is that you come and you leave with that Christmas magical feeling. That's, you walk out of the door and you feel really good. That's what it should
why,
be.
Why so over the top? I mean, just hearing here what goes into putting on this performance of A Christmas Clause, you know, the recreation, the retelling in a fun manner, I would think that's worth the $5 alone.
Yeah.
And having Santa Claus there, availability, that's worth more than $5. Why the laser light show as well?
So our thing is this, that in order to be memorable, you have to surprise people. There has to be a wow moment every few minutes or whatever. And I think we just have a team of creative people who come up with these wild ideas. We're able to technically pull them off. So I guess the question is, why not? You know, if we had a choice to put on a terrible production or the best production possible in the South Shore, I think in the South Shore is one of the best productions around. Why not go for the best? And that's really kind of our motto. Let's outdo ourselves. Let's make it so that people brag about this.
And what goes, I mean, we already kind of talked about what it entails to be able to put on A Christmas Clause. What goes into putting on this light show that happens during the intermission?
Yeah, so I'm going to talk to the technical people real quick. It technically entails a mini computer, three boxes that each have 16 wires hanging out of them. Those are kind of the computer relays. So we have three boxes of 16 and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet of extension cords. And when the computer tells those boxes what to do at the right time and those electrical currents run through those extension cords, everything in a synchronized, magical manner just goes off perfectly. It's amazing.
And it's strictly just the lights, or do you have like some dry ice somewhere that kind of gives another illusion? Or am I going too technical here?
Now, I would love to have fog or things like that, but we don't have that.
Okay, right.
And definitely not dry ice because we have children in our production.
Oh, right,
and I
right,
know
right, right.
We would have dry ice burns if
okay.
we did that.
Yeah. But there are machines that you could do that. I'm just curious. I didn't know if that
was
part of it.
Yeah, it should be, but it isn't.
No, no, no.
It isn't.
I'm having a Pink Floyd moment here. That's
on our list for next year, correct? Let's go ahead and
add No. Don't. Again, as I preface the comments regarding, you know, adding the light show.
Yeah.
It's above and beyond.
Right.
And we haven't even gotten to the princesses yet.
Right, absolutely.
There are, you have another element that there's an appearance of some familiar princesses. We'll put it that way.
Let's put it this way. So we do have, and we're not going to mention the brand name, but we do have very well-known princesses. and princesses and beasts and snowmen available that will be there. They'll be on site. And honestly, they are probably the most popular thing when people come in and their children's eyes light up and they want to grab their cell phones and take a selfie. Yeah. Those are the number one most popular things just from a wow type of thing. So the princesses will be on site.
Now, this is something I have to ask. I've dealt with princesses, my missus, anytime that she has encountered said princesses.
Yes.
It's like a little princess thing that they do. Will these princesses be doing that as well? The way they kind of dash their foot out to take the picture?
So this is our rules, okay? So I'm not 100% sure because I'm not in charge of princess etiquette, but this is what we do. The princesses will be in character.
Okay.
They will reference their background movies and to a T.
Very nice.
And they will go ahead and play along as much as you want to inside their character.
Very nice.
So I don't know if the tiara and the foot come out, but they will mess with you and have fun with your children based on their character.
Do you encourage any particular dress as well from any children that may show up?
Oh, that's a great idea. We would love people, you know, to come. If you're an ugly sweater, people, please bring those to the event. That would be awesome. We may recognize you.
That ambiance.
Yeah. So, you know, go all out if you have a Christmas outfit. Mm. I saw a guy in a Target. He came out of Target and he had a Christmas suit. It looked like pajamas, but it was a suit. Number one, I couldn't believe he went to Target that way. And
people are crazy.
Yeah. So if you have a Christmas suit, a three-piece Christmas suit, bring it out. It looked like wrapping paper in a suit.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was
awesome. I should say the word crazy, but I think people know how to be festive.
If you want to be fun, come and
be proud
be fun.
Of being festive.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what I'm saying, you and I had talked about, you know, going to various parks and stuff. And too many times, myself, whether it's Knott's Berry Farm or wherever,
yeah,
and gone and seen, you know, kids dressing up,
right,
in certain ways. Do you encourage that? Whether they want.
So let's just say this: if I think this is cool. So it may not be Christmassy, but if your child comes dressed like a princess or dressed like a character, they will get special attention for that. Because we're gonna call them by their right name, you know, their right princess name or whatever it is. So if they want to have a magical moment there, we will go ahead and recognize that and make sure that they are taken care of in that way.
And again, I want to make sure that we are emphasizing some of the little things that are built into this. It isn't just about a single performance. There are many little things that
multi-layered.
It's the onion. You just keep peeling one layer after the other, and I think it's fantastic. And again, I'm going to repeat, starting this Friday.
Yep.
Right at 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
And then you got two matinees. I call them matinees because I'm a former community theater guy. But they're at 3 p.m.
3 p.m.
on 60 this coming Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
And let's go back to, if it's okay, and we'll mention the cafe in a moment because you also have that. We haven't even mentioned.
Oh my goodness, Christmas cafe. Food. Christmas food.
Let's talk about the cafe, then we'll go back to the Christmas clause.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So did you also have a cafe?
So we do have a cafe on site, and you'll be able to get hot chocolate and Christmas treats. And I think we're going to have some special Christmas soups and other things that, you know, really. So here's the thing. When you go somewhere and you have a full sensory experience, if food is left out, you'd have not had a full sensory experience. But if you have a hot chocolate and you have all the things that go with Christmas and they feel Christmassy, it just kind of puts the bow on the top. So we do have a cafe on site and we do provide those things and you can buy snacks and things for your kids. But again, with the idea that this has to be a full multi-sensory kind of experience, you cannot leave food out.
Never.
You can't.
And
there are some people who come, mostly the adults, who might say the food was their favorite part.
Really?
Yes.
Looking at me as
foodies.
As you can see with the sand at the bottom of my hourglass, I would identify as being a foodie, and probably that would be one of the top three things that I would take away from the entire experience.
Right.
You know? Going back to a Christmas clause. Talk to me more about this. Is there anything that we haven't mentioned in regards to, this performance. Are there any key players, whether you want to mention a director or you want to talk about some of the folks who make this performance?
Yeah, so I would say that. So I'm the director. So I actually wrote it and I direct it. So I'm the one who barks at everyone and gets it together and things like that.
Diction.
I do want to say this though. If you've never been to The Wonder of Christmas and if you've never seen A Christmas Clause, we did this production last year, very successful, and we have 90% of our cast returning.
Fantastic.
For this year, which has continuity, which keeps the levels up, which keeps the acting up. There's a lot of comedy that we've built into this. So in classic comedy, you know, the bad guys can sometimes provide that. And we do have the bad guys. How can you have a hero if you don't have a bad guy? So we have the bad guys, and they offer, you know, kind of laugh out loud type of comedy moments as far as that goes. So, yeah, and I feel very fortunate that we do have a great returning cast to do this with.
Okay. Talk to us a little bit about one thing we haven't talked about, and we should pay, you know, we should at least give a little respect to the Living Word Church.
Yes.
Where's it located in Orwell?
Good question. So Living Word Church is located at 55 Acord Drive in Acord Park Drive in Norwell. So a couple of landmarks. If you're familiar with the Company Theater.
Oh, my God. I was just going to say that.
So if you've ever been there for a Christmas production, we are almost diagonally across the street from them.
Oh, my goodness.
So almost. Okay. So as you go around the bend and you're not heading towards the Porsche dealer, but going the other way,
sure.
We're there. So let's go back in time a little more. Whenever you had a Sears dryer, washer, or something that broke down, you would go to the old Sears parts store or factory or warehouse.
Yeah.
We're actually located in that building. It has been refurbished. It's new. It's, you know, new type of beauty. But we're in the old Sears warehouse, if you know where that is in Norwell or if you ever had to be there before. So Acord Park Drive.
Okay. I would take it that you are a member of the church.
I am.
Talk to me about the importance of doing a community event or being in touch with the community via events like this.
Yeah. So I would describe our church as a very kind of it's been around for over 25 years. So there's a very young feel to it. It is, I wouldn't say it's you know, the membership is all young because it's all ages. Mm-hmm. But there's a very young feel to it. There's a very modern feel to it. There's a very you know, type of compassionate feel in the congregation. And one of those things is we don't want to be a church that just shows up and takes care of ourselves. We always want to open our doors and we want to do things that we would consider a benefit to the community. The Wonder of Christmas is really something that we hope the community comes, they feel that they had a great time, and that they leave with a good taste in their mouth. So that's really our focus, is to really make sure we include the community and what's going on, and not just have the opposite, you know, idea or effect.
Is there, if you would, what is the church's, you know, Catholic? Is it Christian?
It is a
denomination.
Yeah. So Catholic, Protestant, it's Protestant. Okay. Denominational. Believe it or not, there's something called non-denominational. So we're a non-denominational full gospel church.
Not and to add that
it's funny. It's funny that non-denominational is actually now a denomination. So, so if you know what that means, if you're out there and you know what non-denominational full gospel church is, we're one of those.
Okay.
Yeah.
If folks want to find out more about the church,
yes.
Again, I want to pay respect to the church itself. How can folks find out about services and maybe other events that you guys do throughout the year?
Yeah. So almost on a monthly basis, we are doing something that the community can take part in or be part of. So I would say the easiest way is to go to living-word.net. Living-word.net is our website. And from there, you can find our Facebook and, you know, Instagram and other things that you can follow us by. But that's kind of the hub of information where you can find out more about us.
And for the boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, who are out there listening, as we're just a couple of moments left here to wrap up our fantastic segment with Michael, who's been here talking a little bit about the Christmas program coming up this coming weekend, starting Friday, of course. This is your chance to either pave over an area that I have not touched, or at least reemphasize the fun and the idea of what you guys are doing, the wonder of Christmas, of course, presenting A Christmas Clause.
I think this is absolutely the most important thing. So we're now in the middle of December. If you have not considered Christmas, you know, there's a lot of duties around Christmas, shopping, things like that. But if you haven't considered the magic or the fun or the events of Christmas, we want to be on your list. Think of, what can I do? Where can I bring my kids? Where can I bring the neighborhood kids? If your grandparents, your grandkids, to do something that is magical and Christmassy and things like that. Well, we want to be on that list. It's called The Wonder of Christmas, thewonderofchristmas.net, and it's something that's a destination. It's a Christmas destination that we believe that if you show up with your family and you come, that you will have an amazing time. It will definitely feel like it's Christmas when you leave, and all of the special magic and the special things about Christmas will be, you know, presented, and you'll feel, we know you'll be, have a good time.
And I will say this in closing. First, I want to thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
And I want to thank Laurie also for reaching out to me.
Thank you, Laurie.
She did a fantastic job of going, hey, and I almost almost flew off the radar.
Yeah.
Because she had done it a couple of weeks back saying, hey, would you mind? I'm like, yeah, sure. And so when, as I do every week, I'm looking for things to, you know, depending on what time of year it is, and I'm going through my emails that I overlook, and I can't, I'm like, oh, and I reached out to Laurie. I'm like, yeah, hey, let's set something up with Michael. I'm saying this on my own behalf, and I'm not saying this because Michael's here in front of me, but I myself am amazed at what this program is offering. So if you are looking for a way to jumpstart your holiday spirit, to get into the Christmas spirit, I say make a plan that either Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Well, you know what? Heck, if you want to go all three nights, all 3 days, make it so.
We have people who do that.
You will. I don't think you'll be disappointed. And if there was any disappointment from previous times that Michael was on here, I would tell him. But usually, I have heard good feedback from people in regards to an event like this. So I hope you cast, not literally, but I hope they all break a leg.
Yep, me
and
too.
That it's a fantastic performance. And I hope the folks who do go and attend will walk away feeling that Christmas spirit and ready to tackle Christmas, which is, as of today, 14 days from today, 2 weeks away. Can't believe it. Michael, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kevin, and Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas. We are going to say goodbye to you, but we'll be back next week at 6:15 p.m. You have been listening to Monday Night Talk right here on 959 WATD.